Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight the apple falls in time. We'll sing along with Auld Lang Syne and throw confetti high up into space. Tomorrow morning when we wake, this town will be a different place, and the past will wash away like coffee stains. We could be kings of the world, on top of the nation, the celebration of the moment to come. The city's on fire, we're holding up lighters, raising them higher, and we've only begun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fill My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry. Hope everyone had a great week. Merry Christmas to anyone who didn't hear the message last week. And, hey, Happy New Year's is coming up. We're happy to celebrate New Year's Eve with you all. Hello, Laurent. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Jean. I'm doing pretty good, all things considered.
Yes.
I just can't believe that we're on the eve of 2022. It seems slightly unreal.
Yeah, I hear you there. It's a good feeling. We'll put the rest of this nonsense behind us. Hopefully.
It was 50 degrees today. I ended up grilling on the deck. It was sunny.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
We had an early New Year's meal.
Well, I baked some today, and tomorrow will be our main New Year's meal. That's the way we do it here. We just, you know, it's all light stuff on New Year's Eve, and we do
all
it on New Year's Day.
Yeah. I think we're going to do shrimp campy tomorrow. Sounds good.
Yeah, we call it catch as kids can here, you know. But tomorrow we have prime rib.
Salad.
And we're going to have shrimp cocktail, and we're going to have all that stuff. So it'll be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, that's on the hopes that the year will be the same. Which,
true.
You know, maybe not,
yeah.
But it's okay. It's still worth the wish. So it's like always have a dollar in your pocket when midnight strikes. I don't even
what?
Have a dollar in my pocket.
Why do you need a dollar in your pocket?
Because that means you'll have a dollar in your pocket. You have money in your pocket all year long. That's what the thing is there.
That's the mistake I've been making all these years? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never have a dollar to put in my pockets. That's how bad it is here. I can't even drive one to put. But that's all right. All right, we'll be safe. You know, better safe than sorry. But on another note, I want to say, you know, we have a sad note for New Year's Eve, and that is that we lost Betty White today. And as silly as it probably sounds, it's enough to bring tears to my eyes. That's a great loss for all of us. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's people that didn't like her, but I can't imagine who that would be. She was a pretty awesome person. And kept everyone smiling for years and years and years. So, you know, I'm sure she grabbed her wings and went straight on up to heaven. And she's probably giving God, you know, to go for it. Now, listen up. This is what we got to do. Yeah, I can hear it.
I know you liked her a lot.
I did. I really did. I respected her a lot. I remember watching her for years. I remember watching her when she was on the game show with her husband, Alan Ludden. I remember. And that's, you know, goes back quite a ways. But I just always thought she was funny. I remember her from the Mary Tyler Moore show. I don't remember her from her early days, you know, her early, early days. I don't remember ever seeing her in a movie or anything like that. I would never lie. But she definitely, I remember her all through, you know, the years of Mary Tyler Moore. I loved her on the Golden Girls. You know, she's crazy. The show was great. You know,
she's smart as a cookie, that one.
Yeah. She was pretty quick. She was
a quick thinker,
which was wonderful. You know, someone would say something to her, and, man, that off-the-cuff stuff would just pop right out of her. I'm sure some of it was written for her, but that doesn't mean it all was. I think she was just sharp. And
did she ever do the Carol Burnett show, do you know?
That I don't know. I don't ever remember seeing them in the same space. But she could have. She really could have.
Yeah.
I think that was two different circuits. But she was tough cookie. the insinuations that didn't leave her mouth. And I guess that's why I liked her so much. Hey, Pam, welcome aboard. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you? Good to hear you both.
If I was any better, we all know I
sad news about Betty White. 99 years, though. That's a good time here on this earth, and I think it was about to share her with heaven, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's so sad that she was only 2 weeks away from being 100 years old. Not that that really made a difference. I think it's wonderful that she reached 99 in a graceful manner. You know, she had her wits about her. She was still on her feet the last I heard. You know, she was a pretty incredible woman, and she went out with a lot of dignity. And
I hesitate to ask what she passed from. I mean, given the fact she was 99, but was there something specific?
Natural causes, I think. That was it.
Mm.
You know. God bless her, you know. I mean, I don't know that that's true. I haven't heard anything. But, you know. I would assume it's natural causes. You know, so she's a good egg. Yep, so I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because that's a shame. It's really a shame.
Yeah,
and so now here we are back to New Year's Eve. Oh, she's up there with Dick Clark. That's what the hell she's doing. Uh-huh.
What's your resolution?
My resolution is never to make resolutions. Nope.
Oh, you step sideways.
I always do. I never make resolutions. ever. Because I know better. I'm not going to have some false hope going into the new year. You know, take every day as it comes at me. That's what I've been doing most of my life, so I can't change now.
Pam,
what's your
resolution? I'm right there with my sister Phil. I do not make resolutions either. So I don't make resolutions. I don't make bucket lists. I don't make promises. And life goes a heck of a lot smoother.
There you go.
Yep. What's your resolution, Laurent?
I used to make resolutions, but I found that it was kind of useless if you don't have the discipline to follow them. So I, like you, I stopped a few years back.
Yeah, I don't think, God, I couldn't tell you the last time I had a resolution, if I ever had one. You know, it's all about doing the next one before, you know, doing your best to make it better. That's all. You know, that all you can do. But,
yeah, I got a resolution. I resolved to write better poetry in the year 2022.
I might resolve to write a poem or two this year. That would be good.
That'd be good, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, might be an idea. But I won't even, like, lock myself in on that because as soon as I do, all hell breaks loose. So it works out this way. So let's see. What else is happening? We got a board full of good poetry tonight. I got 9 audios on the board here at the studio. I want to thank every one of you that listens and shares poetry and everything else for a great year of wonderful poetry and supporting the radio. I've been kind of out of commission since May, with different aspects of my health. And I want to, thank everyone who, supported everyone and supported us and pitched in and, keep saving me from myself. That's the way that's been working. And, it's been an interesting year, I got to say that. But I quit smoking in 2021. Yes, I did.
That was huge. You go, girl.
And it didn't take but a blink of the eyes for me because I was done. So, sometimes you just got to know when to drop it. And I did. I figured that out. So that was one good thing, and I didn't even have to make a resolution to do it. I just did it. Spontaneity, that's the word. But thanks to everyone. Thanks for all the poetry and all the contests that everybody enters, all the contests that people run, Pam. To all our hosts and hostesses for stepping up to the plate and barreling through the shows and. Giving of yourselves. I think that's a beautiful thing that everybody does. You all give up your own time and, space. And, I know there's a few of us have a couple of health issues going on, but it doesn't stop anyone from what's the word I want? Come on, give me the word. Here we go again. Contributing, I guess. I don't know. For just putting in the time to make sure we have the shows for everyone. It's a little rough sometimes. This is like a tough year for a few of us. So, but once we get past it, we'll be rolling again. And, all I can say. But anyhow, I guess I should shut up now. Been yammering long enough. It's enough of that silly stuff. Let me see. What do I have here? Ron said he put up a classic poem, so I guess we're going to start there. And I am sure that this is truly a New Year's-based poem, right? I don't know what it is.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I don't think so, but here we go, Laurent, whenever you're ready.
Well, now, come on. It's kind of a New Year's Eve poem by respect to the fact that it's saying goodbye to the world of today. I assume moving on to a better world. Well, it's not really that uplifting, but it struck me that this worked particularly well for me right now, and I hope for you guys as well. Epitaph on the World, Henry David Thoreau. Here lies the body of this world, whose soul, alas, to hell is hurled. This golden youth long since was past. Its silver manhood went as fast. An iron age drew on at last. 'Tis vain its character to tell the several fates that it befell. What year it died, when 'twill rise, we only know that here it lies. End poem.
There you go. Nice job, nice read.
What do you think of that, Pam?
I like it. Of course, I really like Henry David Thoreau and his thoughts on nature and spirituality. I like that this is in the form of an epitaph. It had a really nice rhyme and flow to it. I like that it touches on the idea of the world passing on. It personifies the world and looks at it passing on. And I really like it's great all the way through because it's hard to separate parts, but what stands out to me is of the end lines, which says, the several fates which it befall, what year it died, when not twill arrive, we only know that here it lies. Those lines really make me think of the Bible verse, and I can't remember it exactly where it came from, but that says, no man can know the exact end of the earth. You know, it's impossible for man to know. This is only something God can know. And so within those lines, Thoreau reminds us that there are some things that is beyond mankind's understanding. So a very thoughtful brevity and very well done.
I got to say, Pam, I couldn't agree with you more on those end lines. That was really quite the brilliant statement. Nice job.
Thank you.
And Jean.
Oh, I thought it was a nice brevity. You know, well done piece. You know, a little sad, you know. But
Pam said it all. You know.
Well, there you go. And I need to say nothing. There we go.
Right.
All good. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to open my mouth anymore after hearing what she had to say. That was really good.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Let's see, Pam, what can I get for you to read? I got a little two-liner waiting in the back for me. That's all good. I lied, but it sounded good. Okay, here we go. This one up for you. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right, this is Wilted Rose by Neutron Bomb, and it goes like this. It's not called Wilted Rose. She changed the title. Okay, never mind. Let me start this over. Okay, this is My Little Prince by Neutron Bomb, and it goes like this. In the silence there is space, a space too wide, an expanse for my peripheral vision to fathom. I am engulfed in the grips of three dimensions. With walking cane in hand, you hobble from the corporal, leaving a wilted rose to shed Salt Lake petals that drifted to the moldy roots of the baobab tree, proving little coverage to mourn your dwaning light. They tore through my soul as I stumbled to see in the dark. The monsoon starts and Rowtown raindrops jets in onto my scalp. I remember when the shower mimicked that searing acidic rainfall, drops falling down my cheek, peeling precipitation from my skin to to land like that cremation on my lip. I have no need for that memory. My throat has been savaged by 1,000 paper cuts, and every bruise, every welt, every loss reminds me of you. End poem.
Nice.
Beautifully read, Pam. That was a really nice job. Well, this is really a powerful, emotionally powerful piece. We have an individual who is all of a sudden engulfed in the grips of three dimensions. It's almost as if the world has gotten too large for her all of a sudden. And in the second stanza, with a walking cane in hand, you hobbled from the corporeal. What a delicate way of saying that somebody had passed. She's very skillful with that. And the imagery of the raindrops, the rotund raindrops, jettison onto my scalp. But when you jettison something, you throw it overboard quite deliberately. So she's giving almost an act to the fact of rain, a purposeful act. There's some great use of words in this piece, not the least of which is lacrimation, to land like lacrimation on my lip. I believe that's sorrow or tears or woe in general. And, of course, she gives us the death by 1,000 cuts at the end to wrap it all up. Very skillful work. I enjoy this a great deal. My Little Prince. How about you, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was just a powerful and emotive write. I like how she really conveyed the sense of pain and loss. I really like, you hobble from the corporal, leaving a wilted rose that sheds salt-like petals that drifted to the moldy roots of the baobab tree. I feel like there's a real sense of damage and death that comes with being hurt emotionally. And I also really like the ending where it says, drops falling down my cheeks, peeling perspiration from my skin. That is very visceral imagery, very vulnerable and human imagery, and I thought this was just a strong write all the way through.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. Jean, how did you enjoy this?
Well, you know, I think Neutron has such a wonderful way of writing, always, no matter what she's writing about. She always comes in from a different direction from me, and I think she does such a great job. But I thought it was an incredible write, and I thought it was very well expressed. And, you know, it's just awesome as always. And, you know, absolutely just well done. So, great job, Neutron, and thanks for sharing that with us. Absolutely.
A little shout-out to Neutron. I know she's a little under the weather. Hope she gets better soon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. you know, it's been a tough 2021, I can say that. But who knows what's going on. But we're all going to be fine because we're going to throw all this stuff behind us. Keep on walking, right? Right.
Yes, right. Ma'am. You're left. You're left. You're left. Right. Left.
There you go. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing at all. That's not surprising in any way, shape, and or form. Sound cloud. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab one of these with the SoundCloud. You know what? Maybe I like this. I'm going to grab this one by Jack Tanquerick because he's got two on the board. One guy kept getting pushed over to the side because, you know, moved forward. Make me a little crazy. Okay, let's see what I got. Okay. This one is called Rats by Jack Pumpkin. I'll figure out how to do this. There we go. Rat and the Latch with a Latch critic. Said toadies and lackeys too. Latch G, we can't even pay the fee. Money in arrears. Ratchet went, we can't pay the rent. Even Clark Kent can't save us now. Mom's kicking a cow. Bit of a sticky wicket. And how? That's no more beer. No steak to sear. You all wearing new gear. The deal? You steal this. I steal this is all a plastic meal. Cinema tomfoolery, my butt. Dr. Maston. My left nut punched me in the gut. Wicked stew. A guy to do. I'm turning blue. Don't call me Sue. No is new. End poem.
That wasn't the easiest one to read in the world.
It was a little tricky in my head,
right.
Anyway.
It is. Well, I know Pam enjoyed this. Pam, why don't you take first shot at this?
Oh, I very much enjoyed this. You know, it reminded me of last night on the After Midnight show. We were discussing, after we read a poem, how you can tell sometimes that a poet had fun writing something. And this brings me back to that conversation, and it also makes me feel the same way when I look at this, when I read this poem, when I listen to Jean read it. I can tell, to me, that this would be the type of poem that Jack would have fun writing. Some wonderful, what I really like is that he's got some really great old school references. Like, you don't see the word lackeys too often anymore. The phrase sticky wicket and tomfoolery. I mean, there's just really some delightful phrasing here. I steal this in all a plastic meal, cinema tomfoolery, my butt doctor messed up, my left nut punctured in the gut, wicked stew, a guy to do, turning blue, don't call me, no, it's too, is. I mean, my goodness, this is like so delightfully Dr. Seuss in its short, funny and impactful lines, and I just very much enjoyed this.
Great comment, Pam. Absolutely correct. And Jack had a lot of fun with this. And like you said, you can really tell he had the fun grabbing words that rhyme, that half rhyme. They don't necessarily need to make sense, even though it does. The first four or five stanzas kind of tell one story, the last two something else. But just the joy of, for instance, the third from the bottom, I steal. Now, there's got to be a natural pause there. This is all a plastic meal, cinema tomfoolery, my butt doctor messed up. His line breaks are kind of all over the place, a little bit like the Archie poetry that I write, or he will leave out half of a phrase that we all know, like what's a guy to do, instead a guy to do. But he prefaces that with wicked stew. He does that a lot of fun. This shows a skill. Well, what does he say here at the bottom? A bit of dogged doggerel for Sunday morning. Precisely. That's perfect. Gene, how did you like this?
Well, you know, it was a little rough for me to read because I had to wrap my head around it. I wasn't sure where I was going next. But I thought that he did a great job. It was clever and well done. And I thought it was nice work. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. It had these little parts to it. You know, each one of the stanzas was kind of like going in a direction all its own, although it fed down to the next one, you know, needless to say. And, yeah, I thought it was pretty clever. And great job, Jack. Appreciate that. Absolutely. Love it, thunder. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Okay. Yes, I'm going this way. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to put this one up by Robert Pulaski. This one has a sound clip.
Oh, donuts, my donuts. Oh, donuts, my donuts. My lunchtime is full at last. I have reached the near Tim Hortons store. Eyes follow rows of donuts. The music to my belly can see, smell, and touch the squishy yellow jelly. Hear the excitement in their patrons' voices. The cop patrol on bike stopped. The heist in progress, just done, with the recovered their sweet sugar booty. Oh, cops, my cops, raise up and make this space. For the hungry donut lover, my lunchtime almost over. I'm longing for my creamy donut to linger long on my tongue. Juicy and round, glazed or cream-filled, either one will do. Frosted or covered in sprinkles, I swoon for you. The sweet sugar raised, filled with the jelly, warming up my belly. Still have a room for the glazed. Oh, stomach, my stomach.
That wasn't true, but that was really fine. Pam, start us off, please.
That truly was. That had me smiling and laughing on mute. And I think part of what really throws me off is the fact that it's read in that very jazzy beat poet, smoky room, you know, tilted fedora type voice. And it's all about how absolutely delicious donuts are. So you take a fun, almost ridiculous topic, and you read it in a wonderfully jazzy, smoky voice, and drop in lines like the heist in progress, just done with the recovered, their sweet sugar booty. Oh, cops, my cops, raise up and make the space for the hungry donut lover. My lunchtime almost over. I'm longing for my creamy donut to linger long on my tongue, juicy and round, glazed or cream-filled. I mean, and there's such sensuality in those lines. And with it, between the humor, you know, I mean, it's just one of those rites that works on all levels, and really quite actually makes me hungry for a cream-filled Long John. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. When I saw the title, Oh Donut, My Donut, I immediately thought of Whitman's Oh Captain, My Captain. And I've got to find that poem because I think he may have done a parody of that in this. A lot of the line lengths, I think, are going to be similar. But, like you said, the sheer delight of the patrons and the cop patrol on bikes stopping and making a heist out of the whole thing. And the way he read it, as you said, it really makes the whole poem come alive. It's a lot more fun. The sensuality you mentioned is in those lines. I'm longing for my creamy donut to linger long on my tongue, juicy and round, glazed or cream-filled. Either one will do. I'm not sure if you quoted those lines or not, but I had a broad smile on my face from beginning to end. I thought it was a lovely job by Robert. I'm glad to see we're getting some levity on this particular night. Gene, how did you enjoy this?
You know, I thought it was a funny piece with a lot of good lines throughout. And I have to say that I think, this is my personal opinion, that him asking Titus to read it, it lent a little something to the poem. Because Titus, and I've never heard Titus read anything humorous, ever, in all the times I've heard poems by him or him read anything. It's always somewhat serious. And this had this real, I'm trying to think of the formal way, voice, you know, reading this fun poem about a donut. And I thought that kind of just lent a different angle to it. And I thought it was funny myself. I sat here and I was chuckling going, okay, it's about the donut. It's all about the donut, you know. And then, oh, stomach, my stomach. Well, you know, whatever works. And I thought it was funny, you know, good stuff. Great job, you too. And yeah, maybe titles are reading a little bit more humor stuff for you. And that would be good. That would be good. Okay. So, thank you, Robert. That was fun. Okay, let's see what I have now. What do I have? I have one for Laurent to read. Laurent, I have one for you. And here it comes. This is by T. Francis Higgins. There we go.
All right. This is called Duck Cook Him by C. Francis Higgins. Past the 10th, it is floating into death, and there is no memory of Gangwon in spring, when the dull sun shatters the aspirations of wounded boys. Past the 10th, the breath leaves you, and there is no pain of Gangwon in summer, when its pale night brings beatings from false fathers. Past the 10th, the arid steam rises from your wounded lungs, like Gangwon in winter, when the broken road rises anywhere out of this world. And past the 10th, I'll fight till my arms lose the scars of poverty, fight till my hands lose this shoeshine polish, fight till my love sees me in this new light, fight till my love sees me at all. End poem. Shoeshine polish, that got me. Pam, can I have a comment, please?
What did I do here?
Yeah, this is a wonderful poem. I'm always impressed with C. Francis Higgins' writing. And I like how, now I actually didn't know who Duck Cook Him was. I had to Google that. But, you know, after looking up a little bit and listening to the poem, I felt like, you know, that this was definitely a great kind of works as a, what do you call that, a tribute, but also has some great value in its metaphors, especially in the part past the 10th, this arid stream rises from your wounded lungs, like Gangwon in winter, where the broken roads rise anywhere out of this world, the broken roads rises. It just touches so much on the brokenness of the boxer and his experience of his death, and but also on the brokenness of the world and the scars of poverty that so many struggle to get past. So really just a strong write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, as I was reading this, I understood that it was the story of a martial arts fighter, but you seem to be better informed as to who this was. Do you know specifically who this was, Pam?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Did you know who specifically this fighter was?
I did not. I just looked it up. I just knew... I mean, I didn't know, but I just read that he died in a boxing match against Ray Mancini, and that because of his death, there was more strict rules put into place in the World Boxing Association.
Yeah. Thank you, Pam. The repetition of Gangwon in spring, in summer, and in winter, I thought was kind of memorizing. Mesmerizing, and to read about the aspirations of wounded boys will have to endure beatings from false fathers and repetition of and pass the 10th. It took me a moment to realize they were talking about the 10th round. It really is a gripping poem. Superbly done. Congratulations, C. Francis. Nice, oh, nice job. And Jean, could you comment, please?
I think this is a well-written piece, and it was quite a tribute type of piece in honor of this specific boxer, fighter, better word, because I'm not too familiar with him. But I think that it was a well-written piece, which is Steve Francis Sagan's always writes wonderful work. It's always very precise and well done, and he's very articulate. That's a better way for me to put it. you know, funny how that works. But I think it was just a really well done job, and definitely appreciate the sharing with us. And hopefully we'll get some more work next week. I like that. But, yeah, pretty interesting. Anyhow, nice work for sure. And let me see what we have. Pam. Okay, let me. Yeah, Pam, I'm going to get Naomi's piece.
All right. And she didn't make a recording, I'm guessing?
No, she didn't. That made me think that maybe she was going to miss it with us, but it is New Year's Eve.
Yeah. I know she had plans with family, so that makes sense. All right. This is Time to Be Tipsy by Naomi Sarah, and it goes like this. Gold sparkled from the glass against the monochromatic austerity of grays far below, a reminder of the wild goose chase for all those dollars in the year to come. Hell, I had one more week to go, so I swallowed down the gold, hung on to the window pane, forgot about those bills of green, and ordered another one straight up as I danced a while up on the sky. End poem.
Nice read, Ben. I like this piece. It's short and provides us an unparalleled view of the city. I guess I envy people who either live or work up that high. I mean, it's kind of breathtaking, but the way she offers us the picture in words, gold sparkled from the glass against the monochromatic austerity of grays far below. Beautiful wording. And she reminds us of the wild goose chase, and what we have to do. But here, we swallow the gold, hang on to that pain, forget about the bills. It's a night for frolic and festivity and hang the money that we owe. Jean, how did you enjoy that?
You know, I thought it was, again, a great brevity for tonight. And I think it's sometimes you just got to look past all that, the rat race. You get your mindset out of that. And just live for the moment, live for the day. I had one more week to go, so I swallowed down the gold, hung on to the window pane, forgot about those bills of green, and ordered another one straight up as I danced a while on the sky. So, you're in a position, whether it's vacation or where you are or whether it's your job, whatever, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what to make of the prompt, because it's just 72 floors up is what it was written for. And, it just has a real feel to it. It's like, enough of this already. I'm just going to have fun with it. So I think that's pretty cool. Definitely.
Thank you, Jean. Great job. And Pam, what did you think of this?
I really like this. First of all, I have to say that picture there was actually taken, the prompt, is a prompt from a contest ran by Linda MB, and she actually was the one who took that picture, and that's Sydney, Australia. So I thought that was a really, really cool picture. And I thought this was a wonderful brevity. And you know, instantly the line, a reminder of the wild goose chase, you know, stuck out to me, first of all, because you hear the phrase, a wild goose chase, but then I thought of wild goose vodka, which I thought maybe that's, you know, yeah, but then it turns out, I looked it up, there's actually a brand of wine called Wild Goose. So I think there was a duality to that line that Naomi put intentionally. And what I like about this is the whole idea of just letting go, being carefree, and deciding just to spend a little time not worrying about life's problems. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Amen.
Nicely said.
Nice.
Thank you.
Okay.
Guys, when you're done, you're on. You're on.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to put this piece up now. This one is by Pigeon the Poet. And I do not know Pigeon the Poet. So here we go. This piece is called Smile So Sweet. And with this, I have an audio as well. So here we go. Here we go.
This is a spoken word by Black Pigeon. She has a smile so sweet and a heart so lovely. The only one amongst the whole valley of brothers. It's every man's wish just to have one amongst them. A ten-star queen with a heart so golden. She has a smile that's so sweet and a heart that's full of gold. And she's on her grown and sexy, making moves and completing goals. It's the number one choice to show. The queen of the throne, all you other jokes got to go. It's the number one choice, that's her. Solid as a rock, that's what I prefer. No doubt, she has a smile that's so sweet and a heart that's full of gold. And she's on her grown and sexy, making moves and completing goals. Type of man me, that's why I had to rise above with hurts and no surprise. A king set mine for a queen type wife, providing our heirs with an elegant life. No strife. She has a smile that's so sweet and a heart that's full of gold. And she's on her grown and sexy, making moves like a feeling. On your face, that's legit. Smile from the kids and the pics, that's a fit. We smile when we sing, cause the sun makes us spit. Just check out our pics, let's draw on our kids. No cap, check it, roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't meet you. You got me love drunk and I don't know what to do. Because I'm so engrossed by this beautiful news. With a heart so caring, that is kind and soft. A real queen of nature, you the queen of the south. A smile so bright, you can light up the city. A real queen type of skin, she's not down with the petty. Hey.
I thought he did really well with this recording and his chosen, he matched up his words, his voice very well with his chosen background beat. I know I say this all the time, but it's very important to me when you make recording via background music, have your voice and the background music balanced out. Don't have one overtaking the other. And I think he did an excellent job of that. I really like how he repetitively says the word smiles a couple times. Smiles on our face, that's legit. Smiles from the kids on the pits, that's a fit. We smile and we sing because the sun makes us fit. Just check out our pics. That's a joy on our kids. I like that this isn't just about the woman that he loves, but their kids, the family. You know, it's the happiness that they have together. And it's all about just really taking time to enjoy life and enjoy the presence of those you love. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Fran. Great comment. I'll tell you, again, I have to tip my hat to his writing and his rhyming. In this particular stanza, the type of man, me, that's why I had to rise above with her, no surprise. A king set mind for a queen-type wife, providing our heirs with an elegant life, no strife. He says an awful lot in there. Thoroughly enjoyable. Dean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think that this was a really well-written piece. I thought it was clever, and I thought I loved the rhyme in it because it really it flowed nicely. And I think that this audio is really, really well done. In fact, I kind of hesitated for a second or two when I went over to get it from YouTube because I was like, wow. It looked very professional. And so I give lots of credit on that because it's not always an easy accomplishment. But I think that it was great. I think that it was well expressed and just well put together, you know. So thank you so much. Let's see. Robert Bishop, alias Pigeon the Poet, under, and also, what is it, Black Pigeon? Is that what it was under for the audio, I think? I think it was. So I made a mistake there. But definitely a nice job there. And thanks for sharing with us. Hope to hear more from you soon. Let me see. And... okay. Now, the next one I have is by Sapphire Rose. Let me put that one up. And again, I have an audio for it, so yeah. I'm going to have to got lots of them tonight. So, here we go. Okay, Sapphire Rose. Here we go.
Silenced for All Time by Sapphire Rose. I always walked a fine line, my individuality whitewashed. A whisper of a woman muted within the chaos of choices. Losing balance, unable to stand. A deluge of forlorn surroundings, plagued to listen to the whispering voices of a mocker's reflection. Don't turn me over in my grave to spit upon my disintegrating corpse. In life, you pillaged pieces of me, pecking away at my flesh like a vulture to its already condemned victim. You poked and prodded me with your metaphorical stick. What's one more for old time's sake? Ignore me all you want. Just know I am that undeniable truth nagging the back of your mind. Your words hold no comfort. You are soothing as a hot iron to raw flesh. Stop trying to fill a cracked glass, because no matter how hard you try to grasp a shard of happiness, eventually it bleeds out and succumbs to the darkness, forever muted to the silence of your tomb. End poem.
Sapphire Rose offers us a beautiful piece, so dark, so dark. Here's somebody who's really suffering. In life, you pillage pieces of me, pecking away at my flesh like a vulture to its already condemned victim. You poked and prodded me with your metaphorical stick. Lovely writing. What a talent this woman is. She did a fine job with this. Image after image laid out. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing that you can read without feeling the, well, there is an anger there, almost like a whip. She takes that whip or a knife and takes little pieces of you with her words. Really, really excellent. And one of my favorite songs at the end as well. Pam, how about giving us a few words?
Oh, I really liked this one. This was in one of my contests a year ago, and I gave it a gold, and it's one of those that's worth hearing over again. It's powerful. It's emotive. Sapphire Rose writes good poetry no matter what she writes, but her particular strength is in the darkness. You know, like with here with this poem, you know, I get the general idea of somebody abused and bullied, and the death being metaphorical, as if being dead to people who weren't there for you or who bullied. Particularly this stands out in Voices of a Mocker's Reflection, and you poked and prodded me with your metaphorical stick. What's one more time for old time's sake? Metaphorical stick, because, you know, metaphors obviously are usually not saying something straightforward. It just really reminds me of people who are passive-aggressive or people who are verbal and emotional abusers who then tell you you're misreading what they're saying or you're misreading the tone of voice. And, you know, I really get the impression there is sadness in here and there is anger in here and there's the idea of someone who has made themselves dead. Two people that they no longer want to be a part of their life. And I'm particularly fond of stop trying to fill a cracked glass, because no matter how hard you try but to grasp a shard of happiness, eventually it bleeds out and succumbs to the darkness. So strong lines there and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. I also like those third and fourth lines, a whisper of a woman muted within the chaos of choices. You really sense the whirlwind of emotion that underlies her words. Gina, how about you, dear?
Well, I think it was a wonderful dark piece, but that is Sapphire's forte. It's not all she can do, but she definitely does this well. And I think that this is a great, there was a haunting and serious statement in this, saying that you will suffer and be haunted by the memories of what you have done to me or by what you have done to me. It's going to come back and you're going to suffer from it. You know, it's going to stay in your mind. It's going to linger. That's what I kind of got from the whole thing, you know. Here, I am the undeniable truth nagging at the back of your mind. And I was also looking at the one that Pam had quoted, stop trying to fill a cracked glass. Because no matter how hard you try to grasp a shard of happiness, eventually it bleeds out and succumbs to the darkness. You know, there's a side to that kind of says, hey, you know, because of what's, you know, been done, you're not going to ever get that opportunity. You'll be sorry. That's the best way to put it. You'll be sorry. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's the way I see it. So great work, Sapphire Rose, and thanks for sharing that with us tonight. Appreciate it. It is so quiet tonight. Let's see. Okay. Well, Laurent, I'm going to have you read another one. feel like done, I guess. Whenever you are ready. By Dan DeShino.
Yep. This is called Marble Cries. Daniel DeShino. Forgotten legends of forgotten people. Forest shadows on the distant... I'm going to begin again, please. Marble Cries. Forgotten legends of a forgotten people. Forest shadows on the desert sand. History etched in waves of rock. Grain after grain of memory shifting with each sandstorm. Carrying the thunder of battle drums pounded with hollow bones and felt with each step I take in the wind-ruled canyons of city streets. Far away, beyond my sight, a hawk dives, a meteor to the ground to grab a mouse and let the others scurry off. Distant cries of fallen might echo through museum halls. Marble and bronze propaganda warriors stand ghostly white, trapped in earthly memories from altered realities on murdered forests, sold for meditative comfort. I dream in words of foundation's end, but screams of marble ghosts drown the music of greatness past. I walk along through shaded fields, 1,000 ants beneath my feet, returning home from the victory. I've marched before and will again. A maze of glass, steel, and rock, the heavy weight of mankind, to push the past deep below the earth. A tower of Babel on every street corner. Battle drums echo from passing cars and open windows. Songs of conquest echo in the movement of every man, and trumpets of victory echo in the construction site symphonies like marble cries through museum nights. A sparrow flies over all, the land on a statue in a busy summer park. He waits. End poem.
Wow.
Wow. What a poem. Pam, please take the first comment.
Yeah, Daniel DeShino's writing always impresses me. I like how he goes into how artwork and statues made out of marble that were such an important part of history. I really like Distant Cries of Falling Might echo through museum halls, marble and bronze propaganda warriors stand ghostly white, trapped in earthly memories. I also really like where he says, I dream in words of foundation, but screams of marble ghosts drown the music of greatness past. And also the ending, a sparrow flies over all to land on a statue in a busy summer park. He waits. I like the idea of the sparrow waiting for the idea of mankind to catch up and understand what a small bird understands. There's really an intensity in this rite that focuses on how war has been a brutal and ugly part of life throughout history. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And I'll just pick up on what you were saying. And he takes that look at war, that look at strife, and he gives it to us through the eyes of someone in a big city, a tower of Babel on every street corner, battle drums echo from passing cars and open windows, and the marble cries through museum nights, I thought was especially clever. As I think some of that gives us the lines at the beginning, forgotten legends of forgotten people, forest shadows on the desert sand, history etched in waves of rock, things that, you can see in a museum, dioramas, recreations. But then he moves right back into the city initially for the first time with his phrase, wind-ruled canyons of city streets. And he gives us a long view with a museum showing the marble and bronze propaganda warriors, and continues that long view in the phrase you quoted, Pam, "I dream in words of Foundation's End." Foundation's End is the name of one of the books by Isaac Asimov in the Foundation trilogy, and it's a brilliant look at a person who's anticipated to the study of history, who will be the cause of a paradigm shift throughout life. So, and it's a long, long view, and it's a very, very clever a reference to that particular trilogy, I think. And I agree with you, that last stanza, the Sparrow, but that's what they do, you know? Why did they land right there? What's he going to do? Is he going to crap on the statue? Is he going to flap off? Or no, he just sits and waits. I've sat on park benches, watched sparrows that just landed and then did nothing. It's an image. It's a very relatable image. Gene, how about a comment?
You know, I think this is a fine piece written by Daniel. I wish I had a little more time to kind of go over and read the prompt piece by Rolling Stone. It's called Thunder. And I think that that would kind of bring me a little closer to exactly what Daniel was getting at. I mean, Ponder. And I saw a lot of kind of nature images when I glanced at it, and I could be wrong, too. There may be a lot more to it. But from what I did see, I think that this was an excellent take on that piece and very nicely written. You know, Dan does some wonderful work. It's pretty amazing. And he's always, like, kind of rides the note of what he's trying to get at from beginning to end. He never seems to lose his pace. And I think that that one makes it really well done. So thank you, Dean, for sharing this one with us. I really enjoyed it. And I will have to check out Rollins so that way I kind of maybe could be a little more intelligent about it. But it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. Writing to Rollins stuff is somewhat of a challenge. God bless him. I did that once. It was amazing. Okay, so let me see. Well, I could go anywhere at this point. I have one by Martha Gettle. And let me put that one up. And here we go. So, the button. Button. Who's got the button?
Be Your Biggest Fan by Martha Gettle. You are worth so much more than you think, and I'm not speaking with a nod and a wink. I know you can feel your heart has no home, but there's no truth in what you tell yourself when you're sad and alone. Don't believe the things you hear from someone else. With so much love in your heart, give some to yourself. Only you know what resides inside your heart. Only you can make your own healing start. So come on, be your biggest fan. For yourself, stand up and take a stand. Only you really know how great you are. You know you can shine just like a star. So don't let other people bring you down when with their criticisms they come around. Embrace your own worthiness and know you are the best you can be wherever you go. So come on, be your biggest fan. For yourself, stand up and take a stand. Only you really know how great you are. You know you can shine just like a star. You should know and never have a doubt that if you try, you can work it out. Intelligent people lack confidence, it's true, and stupid people are always there to tell you what to do.
Thank you, Martha. That was great. I can really appreciate this piece, and something we should probably do for ourselves more than we do, a little bit of self-appreciation. I mean, if I had to summarize this whole thing, all I got to do is quote her first stanza, "You're worth so much more than you think, and I'm not speaking with a nod and a wink. I know you feel your heart has no home. There's no truth in what you tell yourself when you're sad and alone." Very wise words. Very nice job, Martha. And Pam, your comment?
Yeah, I really like what you had to say, Laurent, about, you know, recognizing your own self-worth. And that was a strong opening stanza. And I really like, too, how she also has the line, "Don't believe the things you hear from someone else. With so much love in your heart, give some to yourself." It's like the idea that, you know, if you love other people that much, why can't you love yourself that much? And then I thought there was some really great humor in those ending lines. Intelligent people lack confidence, it's true, and stupid people are always there to tell you what to do. That made me laugh. But it's just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you. Great comment, Pam. And Jean?
Well, you know, I thought this was a well-written piece, full of great advice. And I definitely, you know, think she pointed out, she pointed a way out to everyone for, you know, to be happy with yourself, be proud of yourself. And, you know, not everybody that tells you what to do is right, you know, like people that are saying, "Oh, we should do it this way, you should do it that way." You know, you have to kind of learn to kind of get past that and do what you feel is right for you, because you know best. And you need to remember that about yourself. And I don't know, I just thought it was good advice for everyone. So nice write, Martha, and thanks for sharing that with us. Absolutely. Okay. Let me see now. This is an interesting situation. Pam, I have one for you to read.
Okie dokie.
This one is by Robert Pileski. I did not see a recording on this one. But I presume that he was reading.
This is Four Seasons Rain Symphony by Robert Pileski. And it goes like this. Intermezzo. It begins, a whispering in the air, echoes through the silence of trees, in the audience, tinkling around, as the first pearls of rain drops onto the water luster, Chopin's raindrop prelude, instruments tuning each droplet, an instrument in the orchestra, the sound like a glassy clinking of champagne flutes, lilting and clear, sound intensifies, huffing wind crescendo, for the sheet of the rain nears, spring drizzle, spring misty rain falls down frail as a Scottish smear, sinless and glistening raindrops fall, wiping off the night's stillness, foggy dew like a warm butter melting on the face, the melancholic cry of a lonely fox echoes through the silence of the trees. Nibuse, giardina, sus le ploie, violins, dark timber in the clouds, weeping, teardrops from the sky. Summer rain descends in the gleam of silver drops, sparkly and effervescent. Bubbles hit the skin, a wall of cool refreshment. Huffing wind rises up, stirs the leaves, the robe of rain on the roof, full of ghosts, tap and sigh upon the window glass. As they listen for the reply, droplets fall in a rhythm, become the song, foot like ripened nuts hitting the ground. Ball bearing beat the rooftops. Vivaldi Baroque concerto. Watch out for the its thunderstorms. Go dance in the rain with clouds of your heels. Autumn storms. Autumn skies are vengeful. Shrouds of clouds coil and writhe, race across the sky, thrumming with the charged energy desperate to be released. The rain sissing and hissing, teeming onto the spongy earth. Caterwauling sound fills the air, Beethoven's pastoral. The wind whips up into a frenzy, shrieking omen of the carnage to follow. Starts with the big sopping drops of moisture, wild and indiscriminate, plump missiles of mass destruction splattering onto the soft soil. Then a cacophony of sound follows. The conductor loses control of his orchestra. Winter deluge. Winter sky is a widow's tomb, bedarkened and weepened. The crabbed, creaking, cruel clouds cough out great gouts of winter, balloons of sopping moisture, a Noah's Ark cataclysm pouring down in a biblical deluge, unending cataract of water sluices from the sky, gutters like tumbling waterfalls. Don't dare to go out. Close the gate. Grab a snuzzy blanket. Pour a glass of wine by your fireplace. Stare in someone's warm eyes. Hear some quivering and tremble in Purcell's Baroque song and poem.
Well, that's good. Thank you. Well, this is quite the piece. The seasons all have their image, their intricacies, their voices, and he's given each one a voice in his rain symphony, using music, rather famous music, to illustrate what he thinks of each symphony, or of each season, excuse me. He does a wonderful job. You could quote from virtually any one of the four sections. Maybe it's because it was towards the end, but I really like the autumn storms, because I think that his choice of words reflects the energy. Beethoven's pastoral, the wind whips up into a frenzy, shrieking omen of the carnage to follow, starts with big sopping drops of moisture, wild and indiscriminate, plump missiles of mass destruction. Oh, I love that. Does such a good job with his verbiage. And there was another one. Well, I'm not going to look for it now. I'll give Pam the opportunity to quote what she likes best. Pam?
Yeah, this is beautiful all the way through. I like that he covers all the seasons and how rain reacts to them. And that I like how he consistently conveys the message of the movement and the music of the rain by offering up examples of various classical pieces. I too found the autumn very beautiful. I think winter was most powerful in how it described the fury and the strength of a winter deluge, but really just strong imagery all the way through. And I particularly enjoy his reference through the silence of trees, Debussy. Jardine Sousa, okay, I can't pronounce that, but still, I thought it was a wonderful, we're not going to try that again. but, you know, how he mentions the violent dark timber and the clouds weeping. There's such a reminder that spring is a time of life, but it's also a time of quietness and taking time to listen. So really just a strong right and all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And just to ease your mind, it's pronounced Jardin sous la pluie. And pluie, which is rain, is a very difficult word to say, even for me, because it's pluie. You have to move from the I, the U to the IE. It's a very strange pronunciation. spot. You did fine. Jean?
Well, thank you.
Well, I think that this, that Robert has done a fabulous job here. I love the vignettes into the season. I thought it was beautifully penned. It had great imagery and fabulous musical references throughout, and I very much enjoyed it. So I want to thank you, Robert, for sharing that one with us, and hopefully we'll get another one soon. Mm-hmm. Hint, hint, hint. Nice work. Yeah, I like that one a lot. And Pam, you did a wonderful read with that. You did. That was so lovely. Okay, so let me grab the next one. And put this out. And this one is by Bartlebot. So let me hit my button. Here we go.
Shadows of a Setting Sun. Ephemeral bells, our term is over. What has long since passed is done. Old skins crack, tether no wiser. Shadows of a setting sun. Glory fades, and none so brave. Promises the pagan shun. Drown in whiskey, wine and clover. All our troubles, fearsome gone. Mind the ashes of December. What I leave behind is done. Visceral stars above remember. Shadows of our temperate sun. Never too cold to celebrate, never too old we cry, never too late to change our fate, poor or great we die. Never too proud to say I'm sorry, catch and bury that lie. Never too drunk to hide the worry, stop and wonder why. And when our world all over ceases, when birds no longer fly, when nothing sings or pageant pleases, never too late to try. Eleven bells toll the longing hour. Dragon fire spectacle begun. Crackling skies, splinter shower. Quivers, blazing run. Do gods sidereal ever wonder how a year in heaven is spun? Never to greet the day in splendor. Shadows. Moon the broker, tarry the weaver, what I dream has yet to come. Stars, surreal, shine forever, immutable and unforsaken. Ephemeral bells, our term is over, rising river of dawn awaken. New year gather, wiser waver. Shadows of a setting sun.
A moment of silence after a poem and a presentation like that is deserved. this really, when he wrote this, this was a poet at the height of his powers, utilizing all his poetic skills, end rhyme, internal rhyme, alliteration, and imagery that is just absolutely cool. Those first couple of stanzas with a tall ground is sending shivers up my spine. 11 bells toll the longing hour. Dragonfire's spectacle begun. And I will tell you that when he said shadows of a setting sun, the beginning and at the end, it also gave me shivers. I can't believe it took 3 years for this piece to be a front page pick. It should have been a front page pick at the outset. What a great piece. Bravo, Barty, bravo. Pam, your turn, dear.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write. It's always a treat to hear a SoundCloud and a poem by Bart Obach. He, like you said, a strong poet, great imagery and metaphors. I like how this is about acknowledging the passing of time. And I like where to ask the question, do God's side wheel ever wonder how a year in heaven is spun? Every day in splendor, shadows of our Spartan sun. There's a real appreciation for that which we have on earth, and the idea that we can learn from the passing of time, that we can look back on memories and look forward to what the new year has to bring. So really just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. And Jean? Are you on mute, Jean?
Well, yes, I was. I thought this was just very well penned. I thought it was incredible imagery and just wonderful expression of thought throughout. Bartobach always does such incredible poetry. And it's always very precise. I guess that's a good word for it. But this is absolutely no exception to that. It definitely packed a punch, and he makes himself very clear. And I thought it was very skillfully done. So thank you, John, for your work. Appreciate it. And hope to see you again in 2022, which is slowly approaching. I shouldn't say slowly. It's really not slow. But, yes. Let me see now. Let me see more. Okay. Laurent, I think I'll have you read yours. And then we'll go back to SoundCloud. We still have a few of those left. So here we go. Whenever you're ready.
This particular poem was supposed to be a poem of seduction and tempting, and it turned into something radically different, but it's called Winter's Fantasy in White. When came the lying, the dying, the dream? From where came the poison that erupted so slowly? Masks falter and droop. Words fly like battle axes. Life is at war with love, soft agony escaping red lips, an adagio of pain, neither strong enough to survive. He fled into a world of ice, promising to one day return. She followed, unable to arrest her emotional regret. Spirits need a flag flying in tatters and rags before the wind. Each intersection, a graveyard, each tunnel of arching trees, somber and gray and white, paths reluctantly followed, perpetually finishing in headstones. Her mind transforms his face to stone. Substitution and marble and granite, a cruelly weathered bas-relief. She is the beauty without a face, always looking outwards, a copper diadem searching with snow-blind eyes of frozen blue. Desire, driven by internal fire, searching with the soul's whiplash of recognition, a still-life painting, winter's fantasy in white, and poem.
Nice read, Laurent. And Pam, do you want to comment on this first?
Yeah, I thought this was beautifully written. And, you know, I completely understand what you mean, Lawrence, because I wrote a poem for Tuesday's show, and when I chose the prompt I did, I really had an idea of which way I thought the poem was going to go, and it ended up going completely different. And the other thing is, like, because this was, obviously, my Art of Seduction contest with the winter fantasy theme, is I actually had quite a few rights in that contest that took on a sad tone, which, you know, I should have predicted, given that wintertime is oftentimes seen as a representation of death and mortality and sadness. But what I like about this is that you tell a story with only four lines per stanza, and that takes talent, because when a poet decides that they're going to write a story-type poem and they're only going to have four lines per stanza, they need to say everything they need to say in those four lines. And to me, there was it's a beautiful and haunting write. It has that kind of idea of someone searching to fill a void of emotional regret. But there's also that kind of story of following someone into the darkness, looking for that love that was lost. I really like how you refer to a still life painting. I felt by using that phrase, a still life painting, you not only touched on the stillness that is in the portrait itself and in winter time, but also oftentimes still life painting and photography depends a lot on shadow and light. So I really felt there was this representation of the light and the darkness that happens when we go searching for a love that has eluded us. So really strong write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Laurent, I thought that this was beautiful work. Wonderful imagery throughout, and the emotions were really well expressed in the piece. So I really enjoyed it a lot. It was well done. And what a great image. That is a great image to find, Pam. You know, just really something else. Yes. Enjoyable. And let's see. What do I have? Okay. So let me grab this one here. And this one is by Poetic Picasso. There we go. Let me hit the button.
Remember those that have passed with such a fond affection, but let us not forget those that are present. Life is a journey with a course. We either embrace it or we forsake it, even though we might not understand its mystery. The vehicles steering us to the path of an uncertain fate, the chronicles of time are measured by a clock with fixed minutes. To be human in the basic sense is to acknowledge one's mortality and to express one's humanity. It does not imply we must bow in reverence to no man, nor shall we bow to the whims of our ego. 'Tis the simplicity of discovering the fruits of life and the enjoyment of the seed of their fruition. What we seem to want is not always what we truly need, nor what we crave is what is good for us. One can bite from the golden apple and believe 'tis wisdom. One can bite from it, 'tis nothing more than ignorance. There are a thousand questions to be asked about life, but there is only one answer that in the end must reflect all truth. There is such a word that displays the commonality of being thankful, and that word is called gratitude. Sadly enough, in this century, it is sorely misunderstood and taken for granted by the populace. There are those individuals that spend their life being unthankful. There are those that are thankful. You see, it is easy to see a beggar in the street and walk away than to be that beggar in the cold. It is selfish to not give a morsel of bread than to take a morsel of bread. Poor pride to some is a blind man's pity. Yes, oh yes, I was once that poor beggar. Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. End of poem.
This is such a fine poem. Our friend Poetic Picasso has a great deal of wisdom, and sometimes it comes out full force, and there's much in this that I like, but to keep it reasonably brief, that line, what we seem to want, not always what we truly need, nor what we crave, is what is good for us. It's almost like, be careful what you wish for. Be careful of where you go, because you can do what you believe will gain you something that's appropriate. It will help further you in life, but you can find out that you've done nothing more than, as he says, bite from it, and 'tis nothing more than ignorance. What a great poem this is. I really, really enjoyed this. How'd you like it, Pam?
I really liked this. I thought it was filled with wonderful tidbits of wisdom. I like how you mentioned that it has that message of be careful what you wish for. I really like the line, one can bite from the golden apple and believe 'tis wisdom, or one can bite from it and 'tis nothing more than ignorance. Sometimes that which is offered up as wisdom, it is not what we think it to be. And I like the message of this of, you know, be thankful for what you have. You know, don't go looking for happiness, you know, where it's not to be found, or you'll be sorely disappointed. I just really like the messages throughout this that was thoughtful and very well done.
Couldn't agree with you more, Pam. Nice comment. And Jean, please.
Well, I think this was a great job by Frank. Nice words of wisdom, and was well said throughout. You know, I mean, and the last, couple lines were wonderful. Be thankful for what you have, and you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never have enough. And there's a lot of truth in that. And you know, when you're constantly looking for more and more and more and more, you can't even appreciate what you do have. So it's just definitely a lot of truth in there. So nicely done, Frank. Absolute. Okay, so let me go and grab. Okay, Kit. I have two more. So, Pam, if you have something, that'd be great, because you can bring one tonight. So,
sure, no problem.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Well, the next one that I have is by I Love Poems, Sawa. So, and it's a real short one. So, I sent Pam on a mission in Laurent needs 5 minutes, so I guess you're stuck with me, Sawa. Okay, here we go. I know that's you.
I love poems, even if, même si, even if beautiful moments, like flowers faded, pain gripped my heart like a mountain, time flied like windy storm, whatever happened to me, I will continue to believe in a tomorrow rainbow will enclose me. Même si les beaux instants, comme des fleurs, se sont fanés, la douleur a grippé mon cœur, comme une montagne, le temps a passé, comme le vent d'un orage. Quoi qu'il m'arrive, je continuerai à croire à un demain, un arc-en-ciel, mon clavera, un des poèmes.
Oh, beautiful work, Stella. Another wonderful brevity. Beautiful moments like flowers faded. Pain gripped my heart like a mountain. Time flied like windy storm. Wonderful, wonderful lines. And such a beautiful way of putting it. As always, your words are soft and there's just always an airy quality about them, and I think that, you know, nothing has changed in this poem for sure. Just beautifully done, and nice work. I don't know if anybody's back with me. Pam, are you back?
I am here. I'm looking and listening, and, you know, the nice thing about Sala is she usually tends to write brevity, and she has a talent for it.
Right.
I like that she reminds us, she opens the line, even if, you know, even if all this bad thing happen, even if I have to face the storms of life, even if I have to climb those mountains that, you know, that and deal with that pain that grips my heart, I'm still going to continue to believe in a better way tomorrow. A rainbow will enclose me. I like that this is about idea that, you know, somebody, you know, who has a positive attitude despite what life tosses at them.
Okay. Great comment. I have a feeling that Laurent is probably not back yet. Laurent, are you there yet?
I am indeed. I just got back. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. So I assume you did not hear Sawa's piece, correct?
Well, it's not so long that I couldn't read it immediately as I sat down. For the first three lines, are just gorgeous to me. Even if beautiful moments, like flowers faded, pain grips my heart like a mountain. It's such a vivid image, and it's such a proper little brevity for a New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I hope a rainbow encloses all of us. Well done.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome comments, guys. We're going to come over. This is our last piece on the board, except for Pam's, of course. Right, Pam? Right. Look, I'm not sending anybody
right,
to go find anything else. Because if I go have someone go, then we'll be kind of screwed up. Anyway, let me just be good. Okay, the last one on the board for tonight, so far, is by Gerald Green. That's if, well, maybe I need to pick up the link before I try and put it down. That's always helpful. Here we go. getting me laughing because he's silly, silly. There we go. Shaved okay. Now we're going to hit the button. Here we go. Well,
New Year's Eve Party 2022. There is a party planned tonight, and I think I'll not go. With COVID looking for a fight, a ruthless, angry foe, I'll skip the dancing and the noise, and leave the food alone. The gala time with modern toys can thrive while I stay home. There is no substitute for fun, but prudence has her time, insisting I stay put and shun tonight while past my prime. We older folk must hesitate to measure carefully, consider and evaluate the risks especially. A danger looms in crowded space that I cannot ablate. A house becomes a dangerous place when not all vaccinate. And so, I waver and retreat before this evil thing. I'll have some simple food to eat and skip the swill and zing and poem.
Mm-hmm. Excellent job.
Thank you, Gerald. I think all of us can relate to this particular piece, especially that penultimate stanza, a danger looms in crowded space that I cannot ablate. A house becomes a dangerous place when not all vaccinate. Absolutely correct. What a great piece. Bravo. Pam, how about you?
I really liked this. It had wonderful rhyme and flow. As always, he did a wonderful recording. I like that he tells us, you know, I'd like to be out there having fun. I'd like to be able to get together. You know, like where he says, there's no substitute for fun, but that he reminds us that in these dangerous times, prudence is very important. You have to look out for yourself. You have to look out for your loved ones. And so just a really great write all the way through, and a wonderful reminder of how people need to err on the side of caution. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Jean?
Oh, I think this was awesome. I think it was so well done and so well stated. You know, it would be wonderful if everyone would be so considerate of each other as to go ahead and vaccinate and get past it. And that way everybody could be in the same place and not have to worry about, you know, getting the magic virus, you know. I don't know. I just... a little crazy, you know. People want to say it's not real. People want to say it's this. They want to say it's that. You know, I don't know what it is. All I know is I don't want it. Oh, you know. I think it was a great message and well done. And clever, clever piece, Gerald. Very, very clever. Great thinking went into that. Yeah, yes. Yes. So. Yeah. So let me see. Awesome thoughts. Let me go over here and refresh the board. And there, magically, appeared Pam's name at the bottom. How did you know I needed a poem, Pam? Oh.
Ta-da.
I forgot. I know. I'm getting goofy. You know. Let's blame it on the silliness of the hour. You know, I've been drinking all night, getting ready for this party. Yeah, right. Not. I wish. That would be the answer, though. That would solve the problem. Okay,
there you
Pam,
go.
Here we go. Well,
all right. This is actually what do you call that? A collaboration that I did with Colab, and it's a family portrait, and it goes like this. A family portrait, motley association, disparate of a dappled design, bearing visages of an eclectic kind, phallic appendages dangling into a dancing monkey's organ grinder, patchwork threads of holy cockerels levitate the hymen of sidewalk art, the shepherd's pie of the madmen's epoxy, cockney bunch smiles askew, troubadours of sort, strumming chords of dissonance, harlequin horsemen ride towards an unstable path, tormented skies swirling smog signals, snakehead aperitifs auctioned off, humanity drinks the last drop of veiled ruins. End poem.
Wow.
Bravo, Pam. You entered the world of the surreal with Collab. Our family portrait, motley association, disparate of a dappled design, bearing visages of an eclectic kind. And then you move into some of the most original double entendres. The phallic appendages, the monkey's organ grinder, the holy cockerels levitating the hymen, the shepherd's pie of madman's epoxy. I tell you what, you guys did a good job. You didn't get away with a thing. You tried to hide it, but no, there it is for us to see. Nice job. Gene, what do you think?
Well, I give you guys credit. What a, I was going to use the word eclectic, but it's in the poem. I don't know, it's just an incredible poem. It's full of all kinds of, to me, abstract wording and what have you. I think it's just, it's really well done by the two of us. You know, I mean, it's a sharp piece, way over my head. But you know, as I read it, I look up at that image and I'm going, okay. You know, you can kind of pull it in and pull it together. So, great job. Great job with that. And you wrote this.
Thank you very much.
Just
to you.
For the heck of it? Was that what it was? Or was it
you know what it was?
For...
Yes. Well, she asked me, this was actually the second collaboration we did together. The first one we did off of a quote, and then this was, and it was just for no particular reason other than she just messaged me and said, hey, do you want to do a collaboration together? And I said, sure, what the heck, because I'd never written with her before. So, you know, and it actually went pretty smoothly. The only thing is, obviously, because she's over in France, a big time zone difference. So though the writing itself went pretty quickly and the polishing up, there would be like an hour, like one of us would write a part and then wait hours for the other one to respond.
Right. Sure, if there was a direction to it because of the image. I wasn't sure if that came from somewhere or if it was just, and there's nothing wrong with writing just because. That's like wonderful. But very cool piece.
Thank you.
Excellent. What time is it? Is it New Year's yet?
Almost.
Close.
Less than 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I know I have an 11-year-old that's supposed to come bursting through my door at midnight. So if we hear commotion at midnight, I'm really excited. Yes, he's going to make sure I'm awake. I'm just kidding. He's probably sad. I should be being quiet. But, what a great show of poetry tonight. It comes from every direction, you know. It was definitely a typical Friday night mix, you know. I didn't want to do a direction for tonight. I thought that free and simple was definitely the way to go. Well, not simple. I'm simple. The rest of it is good. But just really nicely done. So look, what do we got to talk about? 12:30, we got Nafaziana with the actual, you know, first show of the new year. And tomorrow night we have Gray Eyes Smith doing our 1-1 of 2022. Wow, 1-1-2-2. There we go. Rex is doing a show on Sunday for what, Pam? Is that the carryovers?
No, actually, he's got a pre-writes contest up on share a poem inspired by a song or the type of music that makes you happy.
Yeah. There you go. I might have something to put in there.
Very cool.
Know. I might just. So a friend of mine and I have done a few parodies for L&T for some music that made me smile. So I might have put one of those in. Yes, absolutely. And let's see. Sunday night we have Hearts of L&P with Victoria Frost. I don't know if she has anything triggered for the new year. Monday, of course, we have the Garden of Enlightenment with Gray Ash Smith and Lou U. Wildove, followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam. Tuesday, we have Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and that's Naomi and Pam and myself. We're twisted, all right. We had to bring in Naomi so someone could keep us straight. Right, Pam? Isn't that how that works? Never mind. That must have been a bad joke or Pam didn't hear me. And then we have Neutron Bomb.
I was shouting New Year at somebody. Sorry.
no problem. After Midnight with Neutron Bomb. And I believe, I'm not sure. Maybe Captain B2. Wednesday, I don't know what I'm doing on Wednesday, but I'll figure it out before we get there. And then we have, I don't know if we have an After Midnight show on Wednesday or not. Thursday, we will have Richard Weissman and In Our Craft and Selling Art. And I believe he's got Kafka. Is that how it is, Laurent? Kafka?
Yeah, it's on Kafka. I'll be co-hosting with him that day.
Yes. And then we have, what do you have, Pam? Into the Darkness?
Yes, we have Into the Darkness. And I'm running a contest for that. Victoria Frost will be joining me and Rex, and it's on the topic of family annihilation, serial killers who kill their families.
Oh, it's a cool show. wonderful. And, so we're just moving right along, you know. I mean, it'll be a... quite an interesting week. And of course, that'll bring us back to Friday with Laurent and myself, followed by Faziana. That's just the way the circle goes. Sometimes we have another one in there. We got 90 seconds until the new year, just so everybody's aware. And I want to thank everyone who hung with us in 2021. And I hope to see everyone again in 2022. I want to thank all our hosts and hostesses for their hard work and, offering up their free time to make this all possible. And I want to thank everyone who pitches in. And then, at home or whether it's on the reading list or on the show or whether you're in a contest or... however you participate in L&P, we love you. And we appreciate you all. You may not think so, but we do. And Pam, you want to say anything?
We really appreciate you, Dean.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Laurent, did you want to say anything to anybody?
I just wanted to wish everyone a better year in 2022 than they had in 2021. And if you had a good year in 2021, I hope you repeat it in 22. God bless.
Absolutely.
And a pleasure to spend the last day of this very strange year with the two of you.
Oh, well, there you go. We're a couple of, we're a pair. Pam. We keep on trying to get
yes.
through it. Oh, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. It's 12 a.m. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Wonderful to have spent the evening with you guys. And, yeah, I hope you all have a wonderful night and a great day. And, wow, the fireworks are going off, I swear. They're right over my head. Happy New Year!
Yay!
Yeah, good job. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay, lay on my bed. Okay, guys, I will talk to you all soon. Thanks for everything. It was great having you with me tonight. And
much love.
Awesome. Much love, everybody. Take care. Thank you.